Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, what's happening? What's going on today? Tiki and Tierney, hour number two, coming alive for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Get those brackets out. My guy Johnny Rothstein's in the house. He's going to get you in the right direction. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Monday. Monday across the country, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I call it National Overreaction Day. I call it, more specifically, Pretend I Know What I'm Talking About Day. Not really pertaining to me, but to be honest, John, most people have no idea about this.
Well, and the more that you know, the worse that you do.
So I don't
it's a level playing field.
I used to subscribe to that, but I don't know if I subscribe to that anymore.
You can overthink things.
Well, yes, maybe you can, but I don't think anybody, I think people today, what do they really know about college basketball besides Duke? The ACC's loaded. The Pac-12 is down. Nova's not as good as they were a year ago. And a couple of pockets in between. I think a lot of people are just guessing.
Well, if they don't hate fun, they'll know about how good offensively Wofford is.
Oh, here we go. All right, so listen, get the nerd alert. Now, John, now I've known John as
15
long.
15 years. A decade and a half. That's a long time.
We're getting up there, buddy. John was just
That's a long time.
It is. And how I met John, I say this every time I have him on. I met John when I was at another network years ago, obviously 15 years or so ago. John walked in the door just out of school. I felt like I was talking to a robot until I actually got to know him. But his basketball prowess is, I don't use the word unparalleled too often, but I think you could attach it to this young man's portfolio.
I'm not young anymore.
He's still young. He's a little bit younger than me, so you're still young. John, of course, CBS Sports College Hoops Insider, does the same for SI. He's got the College Hoops Today podcast. But because I know John as well as I do, I could say with a smile, he's got this ridiculous propensity to actually get way too nerdy. So when you start dropping eighth man reference and play, they want to hear this. And that's it. That's going to shut you down. Because if we don't do that to you, you will derail the entire show.
So I shouldn't talk about how good Jeremy Harris was for Buffalo during the MAC tournament.
Well, they might play St. John, so that I might be interested
in. All right, I'm just trying to give you the facts right kidding. Now. You might have to call that game.
I know. All right, let's get to this. Good jump off point. The net rankings, we were all kind of guessing, all trying to deduce exactly what they entailed based on, you know, what you followed throughout the year, what your intel tells you from behind the scenes. How accurate were the net rankings? Are you okay with it? Anything jump out, good or bad?
You know, this is the one thing that I think that people need to realize. The RPI was something that obviously was replaced with the net. But still, getting to the NCAA tournament was based on who you beat and if you could avoid bad losses. You have to beat teams that are forecasted to be in the NCAA tournament. So I started a sheet of 68 teams last Thursday.
Okay.
And then I edited it, obviously, throughout the weekend based on bid stealers and things like that. And I had 67 of the 68 teams in the bracket. Belmont was the one team I didn't have in the bracket. I had TCU in and over Belmont.
Okay, Jamie Dixon, TCU.
Yeah, so that was the only team I didn't have in, but... Uh-huh. You know, RPI wasn't the overall dictator of, you know, at-large bids when it was obviously the metric that people use. And net wasn't the overall metric that people use
so
either.
So it wasn't
that
nearly as potent as they positioned it to start. No, it seemed like it was the new gold standard. You have a good net ranking.
No,
you set.
It wasn't at all. And that's why, you know, I think, you know, because it was new and nobody really knew what it was, we made a jump to a conclusion. But it's who you beat, where you beat them, and could you avoid bad losses. Bad losses, in my opinion, is what cost Michigan State a one seed. And what people, I think, tend to forget is you made a great point at the start. Like, people are watching this time of year, and they say, well, Michigan State won the Big Ten tournament. They still lost to Indiana twice. They still lost to Illinois.
Yeah.
That's why you're not a one seed.
Yeah.
You know, St. John's, Arizona State, great wins. Kansas, Mississippi State, Utah State, Washington, although Washington doesn't have a win against an at-large team in the
field.
I
saw that.
They also had some bad losses. That's why they're in the first four. So you have to win games against teams that are projected in the bracket, and you have to avoid bad losses.
And
that hasn't changed.
I'm sorry, John. And one thing that you've been on very, you've been on this, you've been on the money with this as well. challenging yourself early.
Yes.
I mean, you got to have a pretty good out-of-conference schedule. If you don't, you really can't trip up. Now, you were critical of St. John's out-of-conference, but they actually were able to circumvent that. And I want to ask you this, because I made the point earlier, you know, whether it's Arizona State, St. John's, or whomever that goes and plays in the first four, there's like this indignity, like, oh, we got to go to the first four.
Right.
It's not really the tournament. All right, whatever. People feel that way. That's fine. But I make the case that if you're going to Dayton, chances are if you had one or two more wins, if they were decent wins, maybe it would have been an 8 or a 9 seed. So, roughly.
I don't know about that high. Maybe a 10 or 11.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But maybe in the neighborhood, right? So if I'm one of those teams, wouldn't you have a theoretically better chance to make some noise, go to Dayton, then take your chances with the winner, you know, if the 6 seed advances, and then take your chances with the 3-14 winner rather than go 8-9 and play Duke or Virginia?
Well, I think a thing, too, you have to think about is look at the success teams out of Dayton have had. Last year, Syracuse went to the Sweet 16. In 2014, Tennessee went to the Sweet 16.
VCU.
In 2011, VCU went to the Final Four.
Yep.
And another thing, if you are a program that is not annually in the NCAA tournament, St. John's, Arizona State's in their second straight NCAA tournament this year, so that's a little bit different, but you're playing in a standalone game.
Yes.
You are the only game on in the NCAA tournament. If you're obviously still trying to build your brand,
yep,
that is a showcase that could go a long way.
What do you mean, like a profile for recruiting kind of thing? Just to get
you're
some...
a standalone game,
yeah,
just as a regional final is a standalone game, just as a Final Four. Now, the magnitude of the game is somewhat different,
mm-hmm,
because it's, you know, the first four, but I still think there's something to be said for that, especially more so at the mid-major level for a team like a Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah, okay. Fairleigh Dickinson, not far from where we are now, the Knights from the NEC. John Rothstein's with us here, CBS Sports College Hoops Insider, does the same for SI, host of College Hoops Today podcast, and Tiki is out. Tiki is now on his 19th ball playing the Pro-Am down there in Florida at the Valspar. I have a million questions that I'm going to throw at you, just pepper you with a million different things, but one thing that I can't fully deduce, I think I know the answer, but the St. Mary's win over Gonzaga, okay, is that an anomaly on the part of Gonzaga, how they played, or is that an anomaly in terms of maybe overperforming on the part of St. Mary's?
Great question. I think one thing that, you know, doesn't get enough credit, for people like Mark Few and Eric Musselman, all season long, they had to get their team ready to play, they had to get their team ready to practice against teams that really probably, for the most part, didn't have a chance to beat them. They were the heavy favorites.
Yeah.
They had superior talent. That is a difficult thing to do for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to fight the mental aspect of, you know, your players being bored and so on and so forth.
The Pepperdines, teams like that.
I have been, I would say, on St. Mary's campus in the last 8 years, you know, maybe 3 to 5 times.
I've seen a few of those tweets. You make your way around town. You go everywhere.
And it's, you know, Randy Bennett in some ways is a mastermind,
uh-huh,
as a coach, you know, with all the respective facilities, you know, aren't great.
Nope.
And he is somebody who has done an unbelievable job of almost doing what Tony Bennett has done at Virginia from a style perspective, in the sense where we're not going to turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take the best shots possible. We're going to be extremely physical on defense, but we are not going to give our opponent opportunities to benefit off our turnovers. And I don't want to say they held the ball against, you know, Gonzaga, because they didn't, but you hold the team in Gonzaga that is much more potent offensively than the team 2 years ago,
yep,
that went to the national title game, to 47 points. It's almost like, and you can
relate
to this,
it's
like pitching a perfect game.
Yeah, no,
it's like pitching a perfect game.
It sounds like a drastic analogy, but it's really not, because Gonzaga, and they score 90. I mean, they can just hang 90 on you in a heartbeat.
A ridiculous offensive team.
Mm-hmm. No question. That was definitely their anomaly. We'll see how it plays out during the tournament here. I know that there's always a tendency, since the Big East, you know, fractured off, and now, you know, it is what it is. I know that this year's Villanova team is radically different, and
mm-hmm,
with all due respect to Jay Wright, I know who you were recently with, radically inferior to the team last year.
Yeah.
You lose four guys to the NBA, it is what it is. Should we just write, are they a second weekend team?
I don't believe a Big East team will play in the second weekend
Big
of
East
the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think it's the worst the Big East has ever been in the history, 40 years of the Big East.
Yeah, I mean, it's this year or the year in 2014, the first year of the conference when they also got four bids, but
yeah.
I think when you look at the Big East right now in terms of their draw, Seton Hall is going to play a really good Wofford team. If you win, you play Kentucky, who will be out for revenge.
Yep,
St. John's.
And for those who might not remember, Seton Hall beat Kentucky
early
in the year.
St. John's has been a wild card all season.
Yep.
It's a 50-50. You don't know which team's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
You look then at Marquette. They're playing Murray State, who, and this is the rarity.
This is going to be good.
Unless Murray State plays Duke, Murray State will always have the best player on the floor in the NCAA tournament. That's a difficult game. That's part of the region of Sizzle, which is the West region. Seton Hall plays in the region of Pace, which we'll get to in a second.
All right. I'm surprised it took you 11 minutes to start dropping these corny region identifications here, John.
In the Midwest region. And then Villanova is going to play, St. Mary's team to beat Gonzaga.
Yep.
And then they're going to play Purdue. And the way I look at it right now, I don't expect the Big East team to be in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament.
I don't really see it either. I'm going to remove myself from the St. John stuff because I'm obviously doing the games here. But the one thing that worries me about Marquette is, Marcus Howard's hand's not right. And the Hauser brothers are good, but they're not very athletic. If they get open shots and they get spot ups, they'll drop them down, but they're not a very athletic team. And Howard's small, too,
defensively. Who is waiting? The biggest Final Four sleeper in the bracket.
Who do you got?
Florida State.
Okay, so let's get to Leonard Hamilton a little bit here.
Well, I look at it like this, and you've been doing sports, for a long time. Sentimental favorites emerge in sports. Leonard Hamilton has been coaching a really, really long time.
He has.
He's 70. He looks like he's 54.
He looks good.
He looks great.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Tiki would say black don't crack. Tiki would say that. That's what he would say. And he's right. He looks really good.
And, this is a team that went to the Elite Eight last year, came up short against Michigan, has a large part of that nucleus back, and they're not really being talked about as a Final Four contender, but look right now at the potential draw for Florida State. If they are to go to the Sweet 16, they would play Gonzaga. Who did they beat in the Sweet 16 last year? Gonzaga. And then if they potentially hook up in the West Regional Final in the region of Sizzle against Michigan, that would be a rematch of last year's Elite Eight game when Michigan won. And, Florida State, again, they didn't just beat Virginia. They dominated Virginia in the ACC tournament, which I think will help Virginia come out of the region of grind.
Okay, speaking of Virginia and the region of grind that John so aptly dubs it, we love Bennett. Obviously, Tiki went to Virginia. We've had him on the show.
Class guy.
He is a class act, as class could get. But there is an element of pressure, maybe not from the administration there. I mean, I would imagine if he wants to stay there for 30 years, they would keep him.
Yeah.
But eventually, you got to crack through and win.
No.
And we know that this team could score like they couldn't in the past. Would you be stunned if they're not in Minneapolis at the Final Four?
Stunned, considering the draw. I think when you look at the number one seeds in this NCAA tournament, I think Virginia has one of the better routes to get to Minneapolis. I have Virginia in the Final Four coming out of the regional grind. I think Gonzaga had the toughest because, BT, look right now at the lineup for the Zags.
Syracuse.
I've got Syracuse.
You do? You have Syracuse winning that game.
Over Baylor.
I got you.
So now you got a 48-hour turnaround for the 2-3 zone. So you're prepping for the 2-3 zone on the two-day turnaround. You win that, you have Florida State. If the seeds hold, things can change.
Gotcha.
But if you win that, you have Florida State. Then if you win that, you have Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to win those three games in a row,
that you're going against.
What, Boeheim, Leonard, and then Beeline.
You know
what they say about him in March.
Well, go what?
He plays chess. Everybody else is playing checkers.
But then he has no championships.
What?
I mean, some of these tweets that you put out there, I love you. But if he's playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers, where's the national championships?
Okay, who did he lose off last year's team?
You always say that.
Who did he lose off last year's team?
This guy. Who did he lose? Von Wagner.
Mo Wagner. Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman. Duncan Robinson. And they're a two seed. They're 28-5.
Oh, I'm not questioning you. I loved him from West Virginia.
I mean,
and I know he did at Richmond and Lemoyne before. And Canisius.
Right.
I love the guy. But
I can't
get off brand
just because I'm doing an interview.
That's true. All right, let's get a timeout here. John is with us. By the way, if you want to get some calls, questions for John about your bracket, about your team, about your conference, whatever, about maybe some pro, although I'll follow the pro stuff. I know that John sticks more in the college lane, but if there's some players that you want to talk about who, as they get ready for the NBA, that's part of the enticement to watch this, obviously. 1-855-212-4227. I've got a few questions of my own as we get a little deeper into this with John, who is here an entire next segment, and this will be good stuff. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. John Rothstein. So far, no nerd alerts. That's good. John is John's learning.
Learning how to navigate the system.
Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay. I think even Rothstein could dance to this. Even John knows this song, I think. If you could ever stop.
Old school.
It is old school. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance on this Monday. Excuse me. Always a fun day. Just ripping through brackets. And there's a lot of ways to do this. You could obviously immerse yourself in all sorts of research. I mean, that seems like a lot. Or you could just go, first thing that pops to your head, or familiarity, or if you want to get a little wacky, fill out a few. And we'll tell you more about the Tiki and Tierney Bracket Challenge in a bit. A chance to actually co-host with me and Tiki. So,
nice.
That'll be a lot of fun. John Rothstein, who is just terrific at this, and John, CBS Sports College Hoops Insider, and SI as well. That's recently added to the portfolio.
Yep.
Congrats on that, buddy.
Thank
Happy
you, man.
For you. And the College Hoops Today podcast. So John's obviously doing great. A little corny on Twitter, but I love him. I could say that. Who picked that up? Deadspin, right? The stay hungry, stay humble thing? People thought you were a bot. They didn't know if you were a real person for a while. You gotta have it. Seriously, but I know you, but how do you do it? Do you set an alarm or do you just wake up? Are you an alarm setter?
No, I naturally wake up. Like last night, I went to bed maybe 1:30 and I was up at 6:15.
Okay, and as soon as you wake up, do you tweet from your bed, stay hungry, comma, stay
well,
humble?
I try to plan out like my thoughts for the day the night before. It depends what I'm reading that day.
But how do you have to plan that thought out? You've been tweeting it for 7 years. Shouldn't that be ingrained in your head?
Yeah, I mean, routine is skill. Got to be routinized.
Listen, routine is imperative when you do what you do.
The best way to get ahead is to get started. Mark Twain.
Here we go. Not bad. Good walk spoiled as well, Mark Twain. But you still haven't gotten into golf, which is your bad. I can't waste time on
no
that.
No golf, no coffee, no wine.
Stop. No wine?
No, no wine.
So all these restaurants that you hit, you don't have wine?
No.
What do you have, beer?
Vodka.
Wow.
Kettle water, three limes on the rocks.
All right. You do love your food. But vodka doesn't taste this. You gotta get in a little wine, man.
It just doesn't. Just hasn't stuck.
Okay.
No coffee, no golf, no wine.
I heard you the first time. Let me ask you this. I've made the statement before, and I believe this, and it's kind of sad. But, John, in large part, the conference tournaments are completely a waste of our time.
Why?
Because they don't impact anything outside of the automatic bids, which clearly impact something, but even the seating is somewhat negligible. I don't know if there can be a way to overhaul this, but they just don't have the juice, and the NCAA has to know this.
I completely disagree.
Do you really?
Because what? Conference tournaments, in certain cases, can captivate a team to a completely different place in the NCAA tournament. In 2011, UConn goes 9-9 in the Big East. They win 5 games in 5 days. All of a sudden, they're a 3 seed. They wind up going to the Final Four and winning a national championship. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Tennessee, if they had beaten Auburn yesterday, would have been a 1 seed over Gonzaga. And it also creates an opportunity for teams to enter the NCAA tournament that were not projected to be in the field. What happened with St. Mary's, what happened with Oregon, what happened with St. Louis, mm-hmm. is why college basketball excels during championship week, because 3 teams that were not projected to be in the NCAA tournament
yep.
found their way into the field.
Give me the 3 teams again. St. Mary's got that.
Oregon,
of St.
Louis.
And St. Louis.
Would not have gotten that large bids.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. I mean, and the numbers support what you just said, but I didn't see any of the St. Louis game, to be honest with you. Was there palpable?
St. Bonaventure had a big following there.
St. Bonaventure always travels well. But, I mean, was the place on fire? I mean,
I wasn't at the game. It was one of the more exciting endings we had this week to a championship game, because St. Bonaventure in the final seconds had a 3 to win the game and go to the NCAA tournament.
Nah, it's good to see them back, even though they're not back this year, but it is good to see them back in totality. They were irrelevant for a long time, and obviously way before you were born. Before I was born, they were a great program, so that's not a bad thing to see. I guess we'll disagree, or we'll agree to disagree to an extent. I understand that there are certain pockets and certain situations that obviously lend itself to get a team getting a little momentum that could propel you forward. I just the bigger conferences, I just don't see the impact on the seedings. But I hear you to an extent.
Yeah, I mean, and also you got to take into account, you follow all sports. For the college basketball fan, there might be just a little bit, appeal. That's all.
That's true. A lot of people want to get with John here. 1-855-212-4227. John Rothstein is with me. Let's start. Reed is in Alabama. He's got a little question on the Jayhawks. And Reed is on Tiki and Tierney with John, who is peppering away his phone. He's probably cutting some breaking news. Reed, go ahead, buddy. What do you have?
Hey, what's up, man? I was just trying to get your thoughts on what you guys think about Kansas' shot in the tournament this year. It seems like the first time in at least 10 years they have no expectations. I think it might serve them well. Mm. A lot of people are counting them out already. Just want to know your guys' thoughts.
Thanks for the call there, Reed. John, take it away, pal. Lowell, you.
All right, well, dangerous opening game against Northeastern. Northeastern was about 250th out of 353 teams this year in tempo. So they're going to play really, really small, shoot a lot of threes, play really slow, shoot a lot of threes. The two names to keep an eye on for Northeastern, Vasa Pucica, who had seven made threes in the CAA tournament title game for Northeastern. Also, Jordan Rowland, a transfer from GW. So this
a grad transfer?
What? No, just a transfer.
Just a regular transfer.
Just a regular transfer from GW.
Okay.
Kansas isn't vintage Kansas, but one thing to keep an eye on, if Kansas is to win two games, they will play the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight at the Sprint Center in Kansas City.
I did hear
so that's
that.
Something, yep. You know, that's a dynamic. Yep. So if Kansas plays North Carolina in Kansas City in the Sweet 16, Roy Williams, his old team, Kansas City, the Sprint Center, that's a storyline.
It is, but North Carolina would stomp them.
I agree.
North Carolina would stomp them.
And they're in the region of pace.
Let's get Jay up in Canada, and Jay is on Tiki and Tierney. Rothstein is here. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. How are you? I just called to say, John, I watched your show you guys last week. I watched all the small tournaments that you guys carried on the CBS Sports Network. And I just wanted to say that you and the panel did a great job with the smaller conferences. I watched you guys inside college basketball every night. So it was
thank you,
really
buddy.
Good.
They do a great job. They honestly, it's a great pass. And all the people on the set, by the way, all good people who
good
genuinely
people.
Love what they do. They've assembled a great cast. So what's your question for John, Jay? What do you have?
I just wanted to know what he thought about one of the teams I kind of watched quite closely last week, the Utah State Aggies. I enjoyed watching. They kind of played a bit of old-school basketball, a lot of pass and roll, pick and roll, and moved the ball really well. And I don't know. I think they could definitely win one or two games.
Utah State's pretty good, but I'm going to hand this off to John for the specifics on the Aggies. Go ahead, John.
Well, here's the thing. The Utah State-Washington matchup is interesting for this. And to me, Washington is a mercurial situation, and this is why. Huskies won the Pac-12 regular season title. They don't own a win over an at-large team in the field.
I think they were 0-7, is that what I read?
The only team that they've beaten in the field is the Oregon Ducks, who got an automatic bid. Mm-hmm. So, to me, the jury is still out. Now, people can say, well, they played well. You haven't beaten a team that's in the field as an at-large. Now, Utah State, really good passing team. Craig Smith, a disciple of Tim Miles, who right now is the head coach of Nebraska, he's in the NIT. You've got a guy who's done as good a job as any coach in America is in his first year at Utah State. Sam Merrill, a terrific player in the Mountain West that a lot of people don't know about.
I saw
really
him a
good
bit
passing
the other day.
Team.
He had a big game the other day.
And it's a really good passing team, which could bode well against the 2-3. I have Utah State moving on to play North Carolina.
Who is the best 3-point shooting team in the tournament?
Wofford.
That we don't know about.
Wofford. Fletcher McGee,
42, 42,
Nathan,
43%. You know a number?
A 49% from the field, I believe.
As 40, a team?
I believe 49% from the field and 41 from three.
Oh, I thought you meant 49% from
no.
three. All right, 41%
but,
from downtown.
You know, I'll
great.
Check
I
that.
Got you.
Yeah, and but the thing is, the three main perimeter guys for this team: Fletcher McGee, Storm Murphy, Nathan Hoover, all shooting better than 40 from three. Fletcher McGee made 151 threes last year. Now, I'm not comparing this guy at all to J.J. Redick.
Oh.
But when he moves without the ball, he reminds you of the way J.J. Redick used to move without the ball when he played at Duke. So for people who are looking at that Seton Hall game right there, that is the guy you want to keep an eye on, Fletcher McGee. And I think back to, obviously, what Quincy McKnight did a couple of weeks ago defensively against Marcus Howard. Mm-hmm. That matchup, potentially, Quincy McKnight against Fletcher McGee, a great individual matchup in the region of pace.
In the region of pace. I got to keep up with all these monikers here.
Region
of
pace, you got the region of grind, the region of sizzle, and then the top with Duke, LSU, Maryland, Nikhil Alexander, Walker, Virginia Tech, and Reggie Perry at Mississippi State. You have the region of prospects.
The region of prospects. Okay, so you mentioned UCF. They came up before UCF. A lot of size in the middle. Now, he doesn't play huge minutes, Taco. I watched them play, what was that? Would have been last week, maybe early last week, against Cincinnati at UCF.
They won
UCF
a three-point game.
They won by 2 or 3 points there. Taco's mom was there from...
beautiful story.
It's a great story. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you think he's going to be good in the NBA because you primarily, you know, focus as to college.
Still the draft.
I hear you. But can UCF make a little – I know that Duke is waiting. UCF going to win this game?
I've got UCF winning a game. I also look at it like this, and this is the interesting thing about this round of 32 matchup. Johnny Dawkins played and coached under Mike Krzyzewski.
Yep.
But also, what is Duke's Achilles heel?
Three-point
outside shooting. So, if you've got Aubrey Dawkins, Colin Smith, or Chad Brown, and then Taco Fall up front,
a little zonage.
You've got to go over the top of their defense.
Yeah.
To beat UCF, you have to go over the top because you're not going to be able to post up and so on and so forth. from just a matchup perspective, mm-hmm. that could be interesting, and that's well beyond the Coach K, Johnny Dawkins relationship. So I look at that Duke-UCF matchup, if we get to that in the round of 32, as being very interesting, because that would test the Blue Devils' outside shooting.
I know we all love these matchups with these storylines. Little too devious on the part of the NCAA to pit Louisville against Minnesota? A little dirty?
Well, I mean, it has nothing to
come on.
But when you see matchups like that, you have to think that there's, a higher power making that matchup together.
Of course. They're saying, what's the best interest? What's going to make
Coach Pitino is still suing Louisville for, I believe, over $40 million.
That's crazy that's happening. You a believer in Texas Tech?
I'm a believer in the sense that they're exceptionally well coached. They've got a lottery pick in Jarrett Culver. I don't know if they have enough to win four games in this tournament, considering what they're going to see in their bracket. I mean, they'd have to beat, probably Michigan, and then, they'd obviously have to beat, the Gonzaga Florida State winner. I would not be shocked, though, if Texas Tech won two or three games whatsoever. But I do think this, if we look, at the region of sizzle, mm-hmm. I've got Arizona State, beating St. John's. You also have
What?
I have Arizona State beating St. John's.
Yeah.
You also have a Arizona State Buffalo matchup.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be Bobby Hurley against his former assistant. Uh-huh. So I think that's something to watch. I think BT, and I know you're going to do the game out in Dayton, Zylan Cheatham.
I know. A lot of rebounds, too.
I mean, 12-10-3, a high-level glue guy. The type of guy, in my opinion, that maybe won't get drafted but could make a roster in the NBA.
He's a problem. He is absolutely a problem. No question. I've seen him play. Jeff's in Texas, and Jeff is on Tiki and Tierney. Jeff, go ahead. What do you have for John?
Well, you just answered my question a while ago about Texas Tech, but considering that they're arguably the best defense in the country, and with the region that they're in and the bracket that they have, you don't think that they can make at least an Elite Eight run?
I think they can. I think they're definitely capable. I think Moretti has been so good; feels like he hasn't missed a free throw since Christmas. And you've got a team that's really built on guys who do intangibles. Tariq Owens. Matt Mooney, Norenz Odiase. I mean, I think they definitely could. I mean, I think Texas Tech's the type of team that, could be a surprise Final Four team. I don't have them going because I think, Michigan, I love the fact that Michigan is somewhat off the radar. Lost to Michigan State three times. They're just getting Charles Matthews back.
Yep.
This is, I think, when Beilein does some of his best work.
He's a great tactician. There's no doubt. That's John Rothstein, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, SI as well. Host College Hoops Today podcast. Who do you have on the show? Who's on the podcast this week?
Just me. It's a bracket breakdown week. Last week we had Izzo.
Oh, 100% nerdiness. Just you? Nobody to reel you in?
Just me. That's it.
You and all your nerdiness and your brilliance all intertwined into one.
That's it, man.
Brother. Love you. I love your success. I love you as well. Great job. And this is your time to shine, brother. Go get it.
Thanks, man. See you Friday.
You got it, John Rothstein. Get a quick timeout after the update from Jay Berman. Jay's coming at you right now. Here he is. All right. Tiki and Tierney here back on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network. Time now for Doing More before we get to football at the 40s. Got to do a little football. Can't do 3 hours of College Hoops. Do a little LeBron as well coming up. Doing More brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. Everything you need to do projects smarter. It's the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. We take a look at somebody who's doing a whole lot for his team that he has all year. Despite a 52-point effort from the Greek Freak, the Sixers able to sneak out of Milwaukee. They win it by 5, 130-125. Good game over the Bucks. Now, with his fourth game back since injury, Joel Embiid had himself a day, dropped 40, had 15 rebounds, 6 assists. Philly has now leapfrogged the Pacers for the third seed in the East with 12 games remaining. So, we're obviously starting to get to a point in the NBA where we can see the finish line, which gets us to LeBron at the top of the next hour. NBA legend Clyde Frazier went in hard and went in deep. We'll play it for you. I'll give you my reaction, and we'll get to that in a little bit here on CBS Sports Radio. I think Rothstein, I think that's the way to move forward here with John. When we have the threat of the nerd alert, kind of keeps him in check. He was not incredibly nerdy today, I mean, if you let John go, your eyes are glazed over. I mean, because you're just staring at him like, I do this for a living. I don't even know what you're talking about at this point, Just hoping he takes the social cue to move on. But he is a star in this business. He's a must-follow on Twitter. And again, I say this with affection. You got to get through the courtiness, but he is really, really devoted, as we all are. But he is to his sport, he's able to just zone in on College Hoops. And I've known John for a long time, so I'm a little bit biased. But in my opinion, there's nobody better. I mean, I really think he's great, and I say that in all sincerity. So, with that, football at the 40s, ready to roll. Good stories. Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Santa's going to be me. Big shoes.
I've seen your feet. They're not that big.
I mean, what do you? What size do you wear?
23.
Yeah, okay.
Shaq's got nothing on me.
What size do you wear? What
like
size?
Eight and a half?
Eight and a half.
It depends on the shoe. Maybe I'm rounding up a little bit.
Go ahead.
All right, so our former quarterback, who I'm not a huge fan of, he kind of blew us off at the Super Bowl a few years ago.
He did? I remember that. Yeah,
he said he was too busy, had a flight to catch, and I saw him hanging out in the back.
Too busy.
Drinking
you're,
some water.
You're Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah. What are you busy about?
Yeah, who cares about him? Go back to Harvard. Anyway, forget about Harvard. He's actually down back in Florida, staying, leaving Tampa, going to the Dolphins.
Okay.
So they lost out on Teddy. Mm-hmm. They got rid of Tannehill. Mm-hmm. Now they got Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brock Osweiler. You know, I mean,
well, all right, a couple of things here. First of all, I was really hoping they were going to sign Kaepernick. I want to see if Kaepernick can play and, you know, there's really if he can still play and, you know, where he is physically. They're not going to bring him in now. So I don't know where Kaepernick winds up, if he winds up anywhere. As for Fitzpatrick, you know, there's a reason why of the four teams in the AFC East, the only team not to ever employ Ryan Fitzpatrick is the team that actually wins. That's the Patriots. The Jets have had him. The Bills had him before that. Now Miami has him. Mike, this tells you all you need. And again, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, we could take our little shots. I actually, even though we dissed us at the Super Bowl, I think I have a lot of respect for Ryan. He's not a big guy, doesn't have a rocket front arm. He's actually pretty athletic, and we've seen him run a little bit as a pro. But when you come from Harvard and you make it to the NFL and you make probably $40 or $50 million, granted, the Bills foolishly gave him most of that money. You've earned your way. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And we saw him play the first couple of games with Tampa without Winston. They beat the Saints. They hung 40. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick deserves a little more respect than he gets. But I think at this point, it's pretty obvious what this is about. This is to, you know, win two games, maybe three. I don't know what the Dolphins will be this year. And I would imagine that they will probably try to draft somebody this year. Where's Miami? 10? Are they in the 10 spot? 13? 13. They'll either scoot up a few spots and maybe have their eyes on Dwayne Haskins, Locke, I mean, whomever. I mean, I don't know exactly who they prefer, but Ryan Fitzpatrick is there to hold the fort down for the first month of the season, be a professional, add some intelligence to the quarterback room, and I have no problem with that signing. Plus, it helps my Jets. We'll get two more wins.
The question I really have, though, is if the Dolphins don't think they're going to get their guy at 13, they'll wait till next year?
Yep.
Why would you want a guy who's going to give you a couple extra wins in Fitzpatrick compared to Osweiler or whatever scrub you throw out there?
That's why I think they're probably going to make their move now.
Right?
I would think so. I would think so. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. Yeah, if you want to go 2-14.
You don't want Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick could will himself or his team to a couple of 400-yard performances and steal a few games. So I would agree with that.
Well, number two, a guy who's now leaving a team, Vontaze Burfict, mm-hmm. who is the most fined player in the NFL since 2012, was cut by the Bengals. Head coach Zach Taylor said it's time for both to have a fresh start.
It's about time. It's about time. It's a good talent, but, I mean, can you show any sort of awareness for the rules? I mean, talk about, it's one thing to, like, you know, just barely circumvent a rule or kind of tweak or, you know, just walk around the ropes a little bit or walk over the rope. I mean, this guy just takes a blowtorch to the rules. There's nothing that even resembles a rule to this guy. So I'm all about it. I think that anybody – listen, Marvin Lewis, because there is a connection here to Burfict. Marvin Lewis, you have to remember how moribund they were before Marvin Lewis started winning some games. It's easy to say, what was Marvin, 0-8 or 0-7 in the play? Whatever, 0-7. 0-7, it's easy to kind of attach that to the back half of a joke, but – if you really want to be fair and use the Bengals as a punchline here, the Bengals literally were a punchline when they were winning 2 and 3 games and, you know, Klingler was a quarterback in the 90s and they drafted Achilles Smith in the late 90s. They were a disaster. So Marvin Lewis deserves a lot more respect that he's gotten, but he was too loose. He ran a loose ship and it permeated the entire culture of the franchise. And since Marvin is gone, you now have to remove people who represent that laxness or that lack of professionalism. Not that Marvin was unprofessional, but he allowed some of his players beneath him, below him, to exude or become unprofessional, and that can't happen for a new coach. So I think it's a smart move.
Vontaze Burfict played where?
Collegiately?
Yes.
Where did he play?
Arizona State,
that's
baby.
Right,
let's go
did.
Sun Devils. All week, Sun Devils.
We
got to
get our bet, by the way.
Let's go, Bobby. Let's go, Bobby.
That sucks. I really like Hurley, too. We've had him on the show.
Yeah.
I really like
Bobby. Yeah, and it's too bad that Chris Mullins got to take an early ouster.
Right. Yeah, I
like him, too. He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. That's why he's going to beat him on Wednesday and move on to Friday, go to Tulsa. Next question.
Put them forks right there,
yeah,
baby.
Okay. Fork these. What do you
this
got?
This one's actually really interesting. Redskins head coach Jay Gruden has not been consulted by the front office about any of their offseason moves and allegedly found out about the Landon Collins signing in the media.
Yeah, I saw that.
Ugh. Does this mean that he's a lame duck? Is he out this in Washington? Or are they just handling things the wrong way? Or does a coach need to not be aware of this stuff?
All right, we're going with three things there. Okay, does he need to be aware? Of course he's got to be made aware. Listen, this is the sign of a completely dysfunctional franchise and a rudderless ship. They are lost. They're lost. I mean, first of all, the fact that Landon Collins is a good player. Landon Collins is only good, actually, when it's in front of him, he's really good. Almost great in front of him. Behind him, bad. Bad. Look at the numbers. I mean, look at PFF, how he grades out is in the passing game. Not good. The league's only trending in that direction. So that's a problem. And I like Landon as a high-character guy. I thought the Giants messed up in terms of not making a trade or he's getting some, you know, just I thought they could have squeezed out some value for Landon Collins for sure, or maybe bring him back for $11 million, whatever, tag him. But the Redskins are a mess, and the Redskins are nowhere near being good. So Jay Gruden's already at that point, a year past anybody, you know, anybody else under ownership, Daniel Snyder. Nobody's seen it, you know, nobody's lasted that long. So the fact that he's still there tells me, okay, probably deserves it because he's been pretty good. He's been okay without a whole lot to work with. But the fact that he's not getting consulted or being, you know, made abreast of what's happening, that's terrible. It's a bad look. It's a horrific dynamic. And quite frankly, it's a foreshadow in every aspect of business. Generally, you can deduce what comes next, and that means you're probably gone if you don't win. So probably not good for Jay.
Big AAF news here. The
here
Alliance.
Go.
Forget about Johnny Manziel. We don't
Johnny.
Care about him. What we do care about is the undefeated Orlando Apollos.
Let's go.
Have gone down to, again, the team from where? Arizona Hotshots. I'm just telling you, it's all Arizona all the time right now, baby.
Yeah.
Let's go,
yeah.
Hotshots. Mm-hmm. Have you been watching the AAF, and do you think that it's sustainable as much as the season's been going on? Or have you kind of, you know, waned a little bit in interest?
No, I parachuted in and out, to be fair, but only part of that's out of necessity. I'm doing college basketball games on the weekend. When it's been on, I've flipped. You know, put it this way: there hasn't been a weekend where I haven't put it on. It's part of the rotation. You know, I'm watching the golf. You know, I'm watching other college basketball. I've watched it every weekend in spurts. You know, 6, 7, 8 minute increments here. Flip the channel, go back, boom. I mean, we're gonna waste people's time and have the debate whether or not the Alliance is viable. It was viable the first week. There's just no doubt about that. That goes without saying, and I believe that it's a successful business model that only stands to get better as they continue to build a cohesive relationship and a pipeline eventually for the NFL. That's the next step. It's one thing to watch the Alliance on a Saturday or Sunday and enjoy it because you love football. It's quite another, when it becomes next level viable, when you have an identification, and this will take a year or two for this to obviously come to fruition, but you watch these players on Saturday or Sunday, and then they make it to the NFL. And I'm telling you, invariably, I mean, there's going to be a ton of players that make it to the NFL, but invariably, one of these players will become stars in the NFL. And that just, you know, really reinforces the roots of the Alliance. I thought it was well-crafted from the get-go. Football people making football decisions with recognizable announcers on CBS and, of course, CBS Sports Network and some other entities which are incredibly viable. It's been a home run. I mean, you can call me a company guy. That's fine. It's been a home run, and I think most people who are smart and who have watched it would agree.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right. Still waiting for some Alliance gear, though. That hasn't happened yet. Still waiting. You know? When's that coming? Tiki's doing the championship game, right? In Vegas. Nice. Tiki's had some nice action. Has Tiki texted us, by the way? What is his shooting today? I want to know what Tiki's score is on the golf course.
Having gotten his official numbers, I'm sure he's focused very specifically on the green right now, or the fairway, or the bunker, most likely. Maybe the drop after getting wet.
Yeah, or maybe he's like he's like I could just see him walking so carefree in the middle of a fairway right now, having a conversation about economics, not even knowing where his ball is. Actually, maybe even picking up at this point and just finishing out it and getting some, just having a stimulating conversation. I got to find out what he shot, though. My guess is north of 100, well north. All right, LeBron, Clyde Frazier, interesting union there, but it's not a union. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.